It will keep you mentally strong. It will keep you emotionally balanced. So all these things will happen. And as you are traveling into this, even if you are a negative person, you will change to a positive person. Any imbalance in the Panchabhutas, it causes something called as a doshas. Doshas is nothing but the three doshas. We say vadam, pittam, kapham. If a person knows some 25-30 mudras, more than enough, they can take care of their health very well.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Power of Passion. I am Nivedita, the host of this show. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. In this podcast, I interview the inspiring personalities who follow their passion in order to help you to find your passion and live it with a purpose and lead a meaningful life. Today, we have with us a Tantra Yoga expert, Uma Maheshwari, who is the founder of Sri Shakti Yogalaya. She had been working in consumer finance for more than a decade, and then she quit her job and started following her passion, which made her explore into yoga, chakra and mudra healing, aromatherapy, reflexology, to name a few. She has been in the yoga research for more than a decade and has been conferred with the title Tantra Yogi from Tantra Yoga Vidyapeetham. In this episode, you will get to know how she found her passion, how much her life has transformed after following her passion, and all about yoga, and more specifically about Tantra Yoga. So without further ado, let's welcome Uma and hear it all from her. Hi, Uma. Welcome to my podcast. Thank you so much for coming and making it happen.
Hi, Nivedita. Happy to be a part of this initiative.
Thank you so much. So you were in the job for more than a decade. When we discussed, you also mentioned that you were in the managerial level, right? Yeah. So what was the turning point in your life that made you quit your job and get into yoga full time?
I felt that whenever you work for a corporate, every corporate professional will undergo this. Your work not acknowledged or your work has not been appreciated. So this is definitely there. And I would say that when I move from one role to another, it is like in my organization, I was kind of an all-rounder. So into sales, I know when I did sales, I did customer service, I did collections, I was handling a call center. In fact, I was there in almost all the, you know, departments. I played my roles well. But then still, there was that one point where the appreciation was lacking. And everybody wants to get appreciated for your work, right?
Absolutely.
And also, the appreciation, it is in different ways. It is just not money. So there was a point when I started thinking in my life, okay, if the same efforts we put it for ourselves, I think we can go further in life. So that was a thought which was there in me for a long time. And there are so many incidents, you know, small incidents, you know, that lead to that one major immediate cause for you quitting. So this was there in my mind and I planned it well, actually. Because many a time people take risk, but for me, I wanted to take a calculated risk. So I don't want to be a failure when I wanted to take this. So I decided 1 year beforehand that I wanted to quit. So in fact, I saved money.
Right.
So I made that savings and then only I quit my job. Until now, I'm very happy. The one thing that I had in my mind when I resigned is that I should not be working on the roles of anyone else. So I should make my own money.
Okay. You have been doing yoga research for more than a decade. You have also got the title of Tantra Yogi. So what gave you the thought that you want to go only into yoga? How did you get that realization?
Yeah. To be very honest, Nivedita, it is like in the year 2010. Till then, I do not know much about yoga. Because
okay.
I've been into this corporates working. You know how the corporate life will be. You only know the time you enter the office. You do not even know when you will come back. And
correct.
Especially the finance industries. So that was there. I did yoga. I did attend many programs. Yoga was a kind of an interest for me at that time. So and I found that I could do yoga graduation. I took that opportunity. I finished my MSc. And specifically, you know, when you learn something where you can help people get relief from their ailments, that that is the best satisfaction that you can get. So you teach someone something. When someone comes and says, hey Uma, I'm not keeping well, I have a problem, and I give them some remedy, I say that you do this practice, you will get rid of this, and they do the practice, they come back and say, seriously, this really worked for me, I'll tell you, no money can give you that satisfaction. Absolutely. It is that satisfaction made me to get into this. And me getting into Tantra Yoga, it was like a purely, I would say, like it is an accident. I never planned for this. Mm-hmm. Because at that time I finished my MSc, I was teaching. That time I was even working. So I was teaching people, and I had this inquisitiveness inside me looking for other forms of yoga. Now I felt that our ancestors, you know, the Siddhas and all, I always think that they're all, in Tamil we say, Veshti Kattina scientist episode. So I look at them like that. They have given so many things to us, but the thing is that it has not been cascaded properly, and we do not know the importance of those practices. So when I started teaching yoga to people, especially when we say yoga, immediately people only take for asanas, pranayama, this only they, that comes to their mind. So people who already have back pain or knee pain, just imagine, will they be able to sit down and do a asana? Or if you ask them to do Surya Namaskar, will that be possible? So people, they're actually not having that confidence. They say that yoga is not my cup of tea. So yes. I was thinking, if this asana is not giving them a relief, definitely there should be something in our system that can give a relief. So I used to learn from different masters. Like that, once I read a book called Shaktiye Perukum Chakrangal. It is a Tamil book written by one Dr. John B. Nayakam. So at that time, I used to think, okay, Christian person, how will he know about our system? I had that thought process in my mind back in 2014. That itself made me to go and attend his session to find out what only he is going to teach. So only with this thought, I went.
That was the starting point then.
That was the starting point. To be very, very honest, I never had any agenda or not. Okay, I have to become a very big yogini and all. I never thought so. I just did it for my interest. That's all I did.
Okay.
And after going to this first session, now I would say the first session was somewhere in 2014. Now in 2021, still I am a student. After going to him, I never went out in search of any learnings, because I could find all my learnings with that one master. And he's such a person, and I'm really blessed to have Dr. John B. Nayakam as my guru. And I'm really, really proud about it. And today, whatever I'm doing, you know, it is because of him and because of his simple teachings. Because whatever I'm teaching is not complex at all.
Okay.
But the practices that I'm teaching, these are very, very, very simple practices. And if you're able to do these simple practices, you can take care of your health without going to the doctor frequently. What more do you need, you tell me?
Absolutely. Correct. So when you were starting to learn about Tantra Yoga, so you tried it on yourself and you were trying it to your friends, your families, is it?
Yes, yes. In 2014, I started learning. And this is a very, what I would say, is a big journey. I never thought that this journey will be such a big one.
Okay.
It was so intense that I could not actually resist going to the session. I used to take leave and go to the session. And in fact, I remember fighting with my manager for not giving me leave. I said that if you're not going to give me leave, I will put down my papers.
Oh, wow. So what gave you that much of interest? Was it that sense of fulfillment or satisfaction? What was that that you got?
I think it is more of a calling, Nivedita, because that's what I feel.
Yeah.
Because I come from a family background where my parents were not well educated. But the biggest thing that I still feel so gratitude towards them is that my father, you know, he insisted that I have to study in a good school. Though he did not study, he made sure that we have to get our education right. So
that's very nice.
From that kind of a background, I'm getting into yoga, there is no connection at all.
Absolutely, yeah.
Whatever question you're asking me, I used to ask myself, Uma, how did you get into this yoga? So,
okay. When we join the dots, we know, okay, that is the purpose and that is our inner calling, right? Sometimes we go in search of answers. We will not be able to get it. But at the right moment, something will change our life and then we'll go towards it, and that will give you a sense of satisfaction.
That's very true. And the question that you asked me, so when I went to this session, I found whatever this complicated asanas or these practices could not give, even the bedridden people can get a relief by practicing the basics of Tantra Yoga. See, Tantra Yoga is a big ocean, you know. But here we start with mudras, chakras, and these practices, they give such a big relief to people. You cannot imagine. We are just holding two fingers together. Is it going to bring such a big change? This is a question. Please do it and sit. You will get the answer. So this is what made me to follow this.
Okay. Before we get into the depth of Tantra Yoga and Yoga, so how do you feel doing it now that you're following something for your passion?
Absolutely on the top of the world, Nivedita. This is the word I can
think. Wow. Superb. Everything is hidden in that one word. Okay. How much has your life actually changed from the time you were in your corporate world and now that you're following your passion?
I would say that when we were in the corporate world, there are a lot many things you keep thinking and you are not yourself actually speaking. You cannot be yourself, you know, so many things. And I had a very tough life back early days. And so it was every time you have to be very cautious, okay, thinking what others will think, or what they will think, what he will think, all these things were there. But now when I'm following my passion, I feel that my life is in my hands. So I don't bother about anybody. I do it for my happiness. So definitely I feel this is a world of change and I'm really, really happy about it.
Awesome. Okay. So let's get into Tantra Yoga and Yoga, because you have told small, small tidbits here and there, which is making me very curious. I'm sure the listeners also will feel curious to know about Tantra Yoga. I want to know if Tantra and sex, are they related?
This is a common question that I get when I take my sessions.
Uh-huh.
The question that I ask my participants when they come for the first day is that, have you ever Googled about Tantra Yoga? So if they would have Googled about Tantra Yoga, they can see a lot of sexual postures saying that this is a sexual, you know, the way of sex to reach the ultimate. That's what they would say. So here I would like to very quickly narrate a story, okay?
Sure.
There's a classroom. In the classroom, a lot of students are there. A small experiment they are doing. There are two glasses, one glass filled with water and the one glass filled with alcohol. And they put the worm inside the water and worm inside the alcohol. And they see after some time the worms inside the alcohol, they die and the worms inside the water, they're still alive. So the teacher is asking, so you all observe, so what is the inference? Among the students, one student is saying, ma'am, you should not take alcohol, it is not good for health. And that is why you see the worms in the alcohol, they are dead.
Okay.
There's another student who stands up and says, ma'am, taking alcohol is good because it kills the worms in your stomach. Same experiment. But two different answers. This also seems to be right. But you have to really put your mind into that and you have to think about it.
Correct.
So, Tantra Yoga, actually, it's something different. I'll tell you about that later. But Westerners have perceived Tantra Yoga to be this way. So actually, it is not that. Sex and Tantra Yoga, it has got no relation to that. And it is a perfect misconception.
Okay. So what is Tantra then?
Tantra. So yes. Now, you have energy. Yes, Nivedita, you have energy within you.
Yes.
Yes, you have energy. We have energy outside also. That's what we say, cosmic energy. Right?
Correct. That's from the universe.
Yeah. So now inside of us also, you have a masculine energy and a feminine energy. Everybody will have it. Though you are a female, you still have a masculine energy inside. So this is what they try to depict through the Ardha Narishwara Tattva. When we say Shiva and Parvati, this is the Ardha Narishwara.
Yes.
So this Tantra Yoga is nothing but the science dealing with energy. As simple as that.
Oh, very precisely said.
Everybody asks, is it magic? Because many people still take yoga to be a magic also. You know, I'm not even talking about Tantra Yoga. I'm talking about the normal yoga. Normal yoga also, people have a lot of misconceptions thinking that only Hindus have to do this practice. It is a specific practice for Hinduism. Definitely no.
Mm.
It is a practice that everyone can do. Like how the rays of sun is touching everyone. Like that, even this yoga practice is for everyone.
Okay. So can you tell more in detail about this Tantra Yoga? What does it consist of?
Tantra Yoga is, it's like an ocean. Tantra basically means the techniques. Here in Tantra Yoga, you learn a lot of techniques. Okay. See, in our life, we always say that we should not have this negative thoughts, have only positive thoughts.
Correct.
Is it really easy to do that?
Not at all. The moment we think that negative thoughts do not come, only then the negative thoughts will come more.
Very true.
We cannot stop it.
Very true. So, I would say that when you say that don't think negative, think positive, how to do that? You know, people can say,
yes.
How to stop this? So, in Tantra Yoga, we have various techniques. By following each and every technique, you get rid of some problems. See, for example, there is a mudra called Jnana Mudra. If you hold this Jnana Mudra, basically this stimulates your brain cells. Okay? Thereby, even people who are suffering from insomnia, they get a very good sleep by practicing just this Jnana Mudra. It is just this, you know, gesture, you know, touching the mid of your thumb with your the tip of the index finger and leave the other three fingers relaxed. As simple as that. But can you just believe it now? If I say that, will you believe me? Uma is just giving me some dhyan.
Yeah.
You practice and see, this will, you know, help. So, Tantra Yoga is, when I say for the beginners, it is like we start with the mudras. We give the knowledge about the chakras. The whole chakra system, your complete personality depends on your chakra system.
Mm-hmm.
So we say how it all happens. A lot of people, when they come to my session, they don't even know what is a chakra. So mudras, chakras, breathing practices, this prana that we are talking about is like only if you can focus on your prana, you can lead a very peaceful life. So all these things are there. In advanced levels, we have secret practices. They say secret higher level practices. The reason why secret comes in is because Tantra Yoga is like a double-edged sword. So basically, it's a technique. We are giving you a tool. Okay. Say, for example, every household will have a knife. Knife, if it is with a housewife, she might use it for cooking. And if it is with a tailor, you know, they use it for cutting. And if it is with a doctor, they use it for surgeries. And if it is with an insane person, not mentally strong person, if that person gets angry, he will also kill another person. What will that knife do? It's just a knife. So, Tantra Yoga is like that. It is, in Tamil we say, Ayudam, right?
Mm.
So, tool, a technique. So, that is why we say, in the initial levels, they will not tell you any secret level teachings. In the initial level, this mudras, simple practices, will keep you physically fit. It will keep you mentally strong. It will keep you emotionally balanced. So all these things will happen. And as you are traveling into this, even if you are a negative person, you will change to a positive person. Later that, they will start the secret teachings. And then because of that, you will be able to do a lot of things to for people around you, to the society.
Okay, good. So you were telling about the mudra, right? In a particular way, if you do that mudra, it will give you good sleep. So what is it that is actually happening in our body when we have certain mudras? What actually happens inside of our body?
Yeah. So just to give an example or to make people understand about this, I would say like this complete, the cosmic is made up of the five elements. We say the sky, earth, air, water, so ether. So these are the elements the cosmic is made up of. Likewise, even in our body, these five elements are there. In Tamil, we call this as Panchabhutam. Mm-hmm. So, the balance in these Panchabhutas, basically imbalance. It needs to be balanced. Any imbalance in these Panchabhutas, it causes something called as a doshas. Doshas is nothing but the three doshas. We say Vadam, Pittam, Kapham. So, like this, I'm just giving you for an example. If the fire element increases, then you have some problem. If the water element increases, you have some problem. See, for example, in a particular location, if there is excess of water, that is, if it rains well, you have flood. If flood comes, then the people in that location, they get affected because of flood, they suffer. Like that, if the water is not there, deficiency of water, we call it as drought. If there is a drought, again, the people suffer because they will not be able to do agriculture, they won't get water for their day-to-day needs. Right?
Correct.
So, excess or deficiency causes suffering to the people.
Hmm.
Likewise, within our body also, excess or deficiency of the Panchabhuta, it causes suffering. So, if it goes excess also, we have a problem. If it is deficient also, we have a problem. So, basically, in our fingers, okay, we have the representation of the Panchabhutas.
Hmm.
And additionally, like, you know, your internal organs, the nerve endings are all there in your hands and legs. In fact, that is why these days this reflexology is very, very effective, because if you know which is the point that you have to work on, you can basically get rid of the ailments even without taking medicines.
Okay.
So basically, this is the principle behind it. And you need to really understand the science behind it. This is no myth. This is not on faith. This works. This is based on the science.
Okay. In yoga, we usually do the different kinds of asanas, right? So when we do these tantra yoga mudras and all, so we don't have to do that?
Actually, what I would say is, for people who are not even able to sit down in the floor, you cannot go do asana. When you're not even able to sit in the normal sukhasana, how can you sit in vajrasana or padmasana? It is difficult. For people who are not able to sit down also, even by sitting in the chair, you can do the mudras and get the benefit of the mudras.
Wow.
For even people who are bedridden, I will tell you a lot of cases, lot of people who are suffering because of COVID, they did some of the mudras and they got recovered easily than the other people when others were suffering. So I would say that mudras are the simplest ways where you can actually get rid of your ailments very quickly. And this includes asthma, diabetes, liver, but corona has come only 1.5 years back. Before that, we have so many problems, right? Diabetes, asthma, and like that, you have so many chronic issues also. These chronic issues, you know, you get a wonderful relief by practicing mudras. And moreover, skin problems. Even for skin problems, you have good, you know, relief by practicing mudras.
Okay. So what are the benefits? Ailments you are able to cure, but apart from that, like generally, if we practice, what will be the benefits of it?
Generally, whenever you are practicing a mudra, one mudra, if you practice, it gives you multiple benefits.
Okay.
See, for example, there is a mudra called Vayu Mudra. If you hold this Vayu Mudra, there are any problem relating to your Vayu, you will get a relief from that problem. Say, like burping issues, indigestion, you say, like the muscle cramps, all these things, you will get a relief. But just not that, by doing Vayu Mudra, you also can increase your energy level, and also this will calm down your mind. So whenever we are calm, we can think better. You have clarity in your mind. So each and every mudra has got multiple benefits.
Okay. So how many mudras are there?
There are a lot of mudras. See, for example, take this Vayu Mudra. There are a lot of variations in Vayu Mudra.
Okay. So basic mudras, if you want to have a good health.
In that case, if a person knows some 25-30 mudras, more than enough, they can take care of their health very well.
Okay.
And there are mudras to make you a successful individual. Now, you may question, what, Uma, for success, what mudra can you give?
Absolutely.
But Nivedita, trust me, there are mudras for becoming a successful person. In my life itself, I would say, like, I'm a living testimony for this. Because now, there was a situation, and I hope you will not forget the floods that happened in 2015, right?
Floods,
Yeah, so I had a shock, electrical shock, and I would say that the life that I'm living is a gift of God to me. So, and I would really give this credits to my yoga practices, because to that intensity, still I'm alive, it means definitely it is the practices that has helped me to come back. I had a hairline fracture in my D12. I had to be in bed for 3 months. Lot of trouble, lot of problems. Doctor said that you should not even lift a mug of water. Okay, and he said that you should not sit down, you should not, you know, or ride a two-wheeler, etc., etc. But trust me, now I'm doing everything which the doctor said you're not supposed to.
Wow.
Still, I'm very happy. I'm still healthy. Then I would say that it is because of these mudra practices, this chakra, and the kind of practices that I do, that this has made me to stay healthy physically, mentally, emotionally, everything.
That's superb. So you were able to bounce back. Because you knew these mudras, you were able to follow it and come back to normal life.
Yes.
Very nice. Okay. So are there mudras which can prevent even this anger, sadness, fear, all that for kids when they're growing?
Yes, Nivedita, that's a very good question. And especially when you're asking about the children, I'll tell you. Basically, the objective of practicing mudras is that first is the freedom from diseases. For example, in my family, if I have a history of cardiac issues, in that case, the children in the family can start practicing those mudras which will prevent.
Okay.
And if the person is already affected, then the mudras can also give the cure for the disease. Mm. And when you say about the children, there are specific mudras for the children. There are certain mudras which boost moral values in the person. So can you imagine, you keep doing the mudra, you will know, okay, fine, I should do this, I should not do this. They will get that. And also there are some mudras which instills that interest in the children to learn.
That's very interesting.
And there are some mudras which basically improves their concentration, to increase their self-confidence, to boost up their commitment levels. All these things, there are a lot of mudras.
Okay. And is there any time frame when it should be done?
Yes, yes. The time frame is there. For some of the mudras, it is like you have to do it only in the morning. See, for example, there is a mudra called Prana Mudra. And this mudra, we suggest for people who are suffering of COVID. And this mudra is like, you know, for prevention of COVID also, you can do this.
Yeah, I was about to ask you that. Can you give some tips for, you know, people who are in COVID or prevent from COVID?
You can take this particular thing, whatever I'm saying. This mudra is called as Prana Mudra. In the Prana Mudra, what you have to do is, you have to bend your ring finger and the little finger, bend it and touch it with the tip of your thumb. I repeat, the tip of your thumb should touch the ring finger and the little finger. And you have to leave the middle finger and the index finger straight. And do this mudra palm facing the sky. Keep it on your lap. Just comfortably sit and do the mudra. You have to do this mudra 10 to 15 minutes per sitting. See, for example, how doctors prescribe, no? Likewise, this mudras also can be practiced thrice a day. Like morning, afternoon, evening, like that. The one thing is that when you do this mudra increases your energy level. And this actually, you know, increases your lung capacity as well. And that's why you say this mudra is very good for COVID situation. So generally we suggest people, we say, do not do this mudra after 6 p.m.
Okay.
So what will happen if you do this mudra after 6 p.m., you are very energetic. You might not get sleep properly.
Okay.
So for that reason, please tell people do not do that after 6. But who can do this after 6? People who are working in night shift. See, for example, if you're preparing for your examination and you have to really study, you're a person who's going to do a night study. So when you're studying, your brain has to be really active. So do this mudra in the evening so that your brain is really active and you will be able to prepare for your exams well.
Mm.
Each and every mudra has its own, you know, do's and don'ts as well.
Okay, awesome. So what are the other forms of yoga, Uma?
There are a lot of forms of yoga, like you say, Hatha Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. And these are all like people know for a long time. And yoga, when we say it, includes the pranayama, bandha practices, kriyas, kriya yoga. And one thing which I really love is the Hasya Yoga. And I also give a lot of sessions on Hasya Yoga, which is nothing but laughter yoga. You laugh.
Uh-huh.
You know, people who cannot even sit in the mudras. I feel that Tantra Yoga is the easiest form that you can practice. But still, people will not be able to sit for 5 or 10 minutes in a stretch. So I would say, like, if you have a group of people, join together, just enjoy, have fun, laugh, and you get the benefit.
Oh, okay. So I think we have discussed enough about yoga, how you found your passion, and all about Tantra Yoga. So let's go on to the rapid fire round. Okay, it's just 10 questions.
Okay.
Shall we start?
Yes, yes.
What is your favorite yoga asana?
Vajrasana.
Okay. If you think of a place for retreats, yoga retreats, what is the one place that comes to your mind?
There is a place in Huzur.
Uh-huh.
It is called as Yoga Nikaya.
Uh-huh.
And that is really good. I really love that place.
Okay, nice. What is life to you?
Life is to be happy and enjoy. Be good, do good, enjoy your life.
Okay. One thing about yourself that you want to change?
Yeah, I generally don't say no. No comes very rarely.
Okay.
I feel that I should change that.
Okay. What is your biggest dream?
My biggest dream is that I want to start a skill center for women where they don't have anyone to take care. If they come there, they can live as long as they want, but they should not be their idol. They need to learn something, contribute something to the society, and then be there till their lifetime.
Wow. That's very nice of you. Very kind of you. Okay. What has been the best moment in your life so far?
the time that I'm spending with my family. I have a daughter, her name is Shakti, and my family is such a wonderful, you know, I would say if I'm like this, if I'm able to do so much, able to contribute so much, I will say it's because of my family, my husband, my children. They are so understanding, and the time I spend with them is the best.
It's so nice to hear that, because hardly we hear such good things, right, about families, right? Okay. Who's your inspiration?
My guru, Dr. John B. Nayagam.
What is the one book you would recommend?
My favorite book that really changed my thought process is a Tamil novel, and it's called as Udayar, which is written by author Balakumaran. And that novel is about the construction of Tanjore Temple, big temple. Mm-hmm. And it's more about Rajaraja Cholan. And I think that one book basically gives understanding about everything, about how a person should be, how a person should not be. Maybe the story is all about the construction, but then it touches everything. Administration skills of those people, you know, 1,000 years and more than that, back then, without any, you know, modes of transport they were able to do. Just imagine the vision of that person and how many people were able to contribute to that. That book is very inspiring, and I would suggest that book, but it is big. People should have the patience to read.
Okay, I understand. What is the biggest lesson that you've learned in your life so far?
You have to be truthful to yourself, you know, and there is no need to please anybody else. You need not be a influencer, kind of, you need not go and ask anybody. You know what is right for yourself. You have to be very strong in your decision making, because when I took a decision, a lot of people criticized me, and every part of my life, I've got so much of criticisms, but I always hear to what my mind says.
Yeah.
So I feel that you have to be truthful to yourself.
Good message. Okay. If you were to time travel, what would you be doing?
We'll go back to my school days, and think that, you know, I could have done something better.
Okay.
Because, see, I have done my MA history, MBA, and then I've done my MSc, and then I did law also. So maybe at that time, I did not have clarity as to what I should do. So maybe if I go back to that time, I can rectify certain mistakes that I did earlier.
Okay.
Anyways, now that everything's gone, I'm really happy what I'm.
Okay. So we have one last question to go. Before that, what advice would you like to give someone who wants to follow their passion and want to take that up as their career?
Okay. When you decide on something, there will be a queue of people to discourage you, to demotivate you, to tell you that this is not going to work out. But you have to be stronger than those strong comments and to say that, no, I have a passion, I have a vision, and I have plans to do that. Never ever go back and think, oh my God, I have decided this, but then this is wrong. You should not regret for that. So you have to be really, really calculative. That's what I say. Take calculated risks. And when your passion becomes what you're doing, I'll tell you, life is a bliss. Every moment. I'll tell you, Nivedita, yesterday I did not sleep because I had something, I have to prepare something. But since morning till now, I have not slept also. And I'm not even getting it. I'm all energetic because yesterday what I did, it is for my passion.
Yeah.
Maybe that is my professional goal now, but that is my passion. I love doing it.
Yeah.
So whatever you do that with passion.
Right.
Generally, people say that you should not follow your passion. But all those things, please don't hear to all those things. Hear to your inner voice. Your inner voice will always guide you to the right path.
Absolutely. That's very nice what you said. Okay. So we have come to the last question of this round, which is, if you are given the power to change the world in a day, what will you be doing?
I will talk to all the new generation people, youngsters. I will motivate them.
Okay.
Because I believe the energy is there. It is with them. You need to focus on the upcoming generation. And you need to tell them the right ways of living. You teach them what is right, what is wrong. Because the new generation is all there, but we only do not know how to connect with them.
Correct.
So we should get that, you know, way of connecting with the young generation people, like how Vivekananda said. So he said, call only the youth. So likewise, that is a way of changing. And I believe in it.
Awesome. So thank you so much, Uma. You have shared with us a lot about Tantra Yoga, its benefits, and you have also told that even children can get benefited out of this. And we learn, it can help in the prevention and the cure of diseases. There are a lot of mudras, as you said, for success, increase the self-confidence. So you've actually aroused the curiosity in us, I would say. And so I wish you all the success again. And thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Nivedita. And you're doing a phenomenal job, because the topic that you've taken, the following your passion, is such a wonderful thing. And you do not know what you're doing to the society. You're just giving them so much of, they say, this adrenaline rush, right? So I think that is what you're doing. You're making people to understand. Sometimes, you know, we will not know our own strength. There should be someone to come and say that, hey, what, you have so much of things, why don't you do this?
Correct.
So likewise, keep going in the direction, and I'm sure you will get all success in your life. Thank you, Nivedita, for inviting me.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your heartfelt words. And to all the listeners, thank you so much again for spending your time. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please do subscribe to my podcast and share it with your family, friends and colleagues. And please don't forget to share your comments on what you think about this episode. Please share your comments on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to connect to me, you can do so on Instagram at Power of Passion. And I will catch you next week on another inspiring episode of Power of Passion. Until then, stay safe, and most importantly, do what you love. Thank you.